going to be looking through the grid and holding the values of fellowship with God, fellowship with the family of God, and fellowship with the world. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about fellowship with God, and painting a picture of what that looks like. In order to begin that journey, I can't think of a better passage to begin with than the very core, the very essence of who we are as believers. I feel like that narrative begins in John chapter 3, verse 16. If you're anything like me, if you grew up in church, at 5 years old, I remember my mom making me come out into the living room and quote this scripture for my grandmama. So I'll see if I can get it right some 30 years later. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll say it again. It's very familiar, especially if you're a church person. It's very familiar. So I want you to stop and I want you to think about these words. And don't allow them to just run past you. Hear these words of our Father one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Every great gift deserves a response. Every great gift deserves a response. I remember 6 years ago, first moved to California from Mississippi. My wife and I were celebrating. She had a birthday come up. We had an anniversary. So she had moved from California. My wife, we moved from Mississippi. We had like a 1,500 square foot house on an acre of land, and we moved into like a 700 square foot apartment down South Los Robles. So, you know, it ain't Fifth Avenue. So I knew I needed to get some good for my wife because her whole shoes took up the whole living room. She had sacrificed a lot of square footage. She had made a huge sacrifice. I was like, I got to do something good. So I talked to my friends, you know, in a new city, call my L.A. friends. Y'all, what should I do? What's a good spot? Where should I go to get my wife something nice? They said, man, if you want to do something really good for your wife, you ought to go. You ought to go to Tiffany's. I was like, who is Tiffany? They was like, Tiffany's, you know, the blue box. I was like, no, I ain't never met no girl named Tiffany that got blue boxes. Who is that? They was like, dude, you go. And they took me down the old town, and you go down there, and it's a Tiffany store right there in the old town, Pasadena. So I walk in Tiffany's, and I look at prices, and I was like, oh, no, Tiffany ain't for me. Let me go. They said, no, Albert, you gotta go back, man. It's expensive, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, it's when your wife sees the blue box, she's going to love it. So I was like, cool. I was like, hey, Tiffany, can I just get a blue box, please? She's like, sir, we don't give out blue boxes. I was like, okay. So I went around the store. You know how you ever been in a store where you know you're really not supposed to be there? And the people know you're not supposed to be there? But now you got to act like you're supposed to be there because you don't want them to know that you ain't supposed to be there, you know? So you don't want to just say, we're the cheap section. You know what I mean? Y'all got a sale and anything. So I'm looking around and I was like, oh, it's cute. What's that? She's like, oh, that's the ring. I was like, okay, now how much is that? She's like, $25,000. I was like, oh, okay. You know, because in your mind, you're thinking, have you lost your mind? But you know, you kind of do that. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Probably, I don't think she'll like that. What else you got? You know, you just kind of move around. That's hoping you can bump into, you know, the 1999 section, you know? Didn't happen at Tiffany's. So I finally settled on this little bracelet, you know, they got the little locket, you know, the little Tiffany's locket. Later on, I found out I could have went downtown LA and got it for $15, but it's a whole nother story. That box is a little bluer than Tiffany's block. Anyway, that's the Latasha, not Tiffany. Anyway, so I got the bracelet. And, you know, I'm ready. Give it to LaRosa. I got it all boxed up. And I'm just going to tell you. I know I could be wrong. My motives wasn't right. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. I wanted a response. Like, I done went through all this trouble. I done financed this thing. 6 more payments to be paid for now. You know what I mean? So I got Tiffany's. I got this little box. I want a response. When she see this, I want no little, oh, babe, that's nice. No, that ain't good enough. I want tears. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want just regular little trickle down the side, Julia Roberts, little, no. I want snot bubble tears. You know what I mean? I want that, I can't talk kind of. I want the ugly cry. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like, we can't put these pictures on Facebook because they don't look cute. Cry. You know what I mean? So I give her the box. And I'm just going to say, fellas, if you ever want to take it to the next level with your boo, I'm sorry, boo, your significant other or one that you desire to have long-term committed relationship with, Yo, boo, you got to take her to Tiffany's. Tiffany hooked me up. Tiffany is my best friend now. We call. I don't ever buy nothing no more, but we talk all the time. I go to Natasha from now on. You know what I mean? But I gave La Rosa the Tiffany's box, and I'm telling you, she started crying. I'll just say this. Bethany came a little later on. It is the next baby. You know what I'm saying? It was a blessing from on high. Gotta be careful because we got kids. But you know, the Lord was good and his mercy endured forever. And ever, ever, and ever, ever, and ever, ever. It was good. Because every great gift deserves a great response. Now how would it have been if I gave her the gift and she was like, oh, that's cute. That's nice. Thanks, Albert. It's so cute. And she sit it down on her side. I'd be like, oh, no, she didn't. How are you going to take that and just put it to the side like that? Or if she got it, it was like, oh, that's nice. That's nice. I might be able to wear that one day and just kind of sit it on the shelf. After all I went through with homegirl Tiffany, you need to have that necklace on. You need to have that bracelet on every day, okay? Not every day. We ain't got time for all them syllables. Day. You need to have it on every day. You know what I'm saying? You don't have it on a day. You got it. That's what I'm talking about, boo. Look at it. She got it on. That's what I'm talking about. Day, okay? Day, all right? Every great gift deserves a great response. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, God has given you this precious gift. The question is, what are you doing with it? Is it something where you see, oh, wow, yeah, Jesus, I know about Jesus. I know what he's done and I know all that stuff and that's all cool, but it's not for me. You put it on the side. Or I know about Jesus and I've actually engaged him a little bit. I know what it's like to have him be a part of my life. So I've pulled him out and I'll worship him. I'll even pray to him in times of crisis, but I only wear him when he matches my situation. You see that? I only put him on when he matches my situation. But when I'm not in crisis or when I'm not in trouble, I don't wear him because he don't really match my outfit. So I'll have him in my life, but I only have him in my life as an accessory. I only engage him and I only call on Jesus when he can complement my situation. If I'm in trouble, I need Jesus. When I'm in crisis, I need the accessory of Jesus in my life. But when I'm just doing good and everything's fine and I'm making my own decisions, I don't need Jesus. I keep him on the shelf. There are implications for how you respond to this question. I'll say it again. There are huge implications of how you respond to this question. For God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift that could ever be given. He gave his only begotten son. And now here it is. Whosoever would respond to him. How? By believing in him. Whosoever would believe in him. This word believe is a very interesting word. It's not just the idea of mental assent. It's not just the idea. Aaron, come here real quick. Pass me the stool right over here. The piano stool there. It's not just the idea of mental assent. It's not just coming to your place to where you say, I believe. Thanks, man. It's not the idea of believing mentally, but the idea of believe is it's mental assent. It's the assent of the mind. It's the surrender of the will, and it's the reclining of the heart. I'll say that again. It's the assent of the mind. I know and I understand. It's not just some physical emotional response, but I know and I surrender my mind over. I'm renewed by the transforming of my mind. My mind is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the greatness of who God is, and I believe mentally. But then I also submit my will. See, because you can believe all day, but until you change your behavior, do you submit your will, how you live, how you go? It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, at the end of the day, Lord, it's not my will, but thy will be done. It's the surrendering of my will to the Lord's will. At the end of the day, it's not about what I want, but it's about what the Lord wants. So it's wrapping my mind and resting my mind to believe in who God is. It's surrendering of my will and saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And the culmination is found in ultimately the reclining of the heart. And the word sounds like the picture looks. It's the reclining of the heart. It's the resting of the heart. It's like this chair. I believe, although I'm a pretty big dude, I believe, yeah, I believe that this chair can hold me. I believe it. My mind, I look at it, it makes sense. Question is, my willingness to surrender my will. All right, I'm willing to sit in the chair. I will sit in the chair. No, leave me alone. I will sit in the chair. I'm willing to do it. I'll sit. All right. Yep. Ah, yeah. So what's happening is, am I sitting in a chair? No. Am I making an awkward posture? That's what you look like. See, when you say, I really believe and I really rest in God, but you live your life like this, in an awkward posture of you still holding on to your own way. I'm 34 years old and I'm out of shape, so my knees are starting to shake right about now. Starting to tremble in the sweat. Starting to get a little thicker on my face because I'm still standing in my own strength. Although I believe the chair can hold me, I'm willing to sit in the chair, but the reclining of the heart is still holding on to its own ways. And although I've said it and I've gotten the right posture, I'm still not sitting, I'm still not resting, I'm still standing in my own strength, and I'm starting to feel pain. And some of you, that's your life. You confess with your mouth, I believe in Jesus. You'll say, and I'm willing to do whatever he asks, but when the time comes for you to fully rest and sit in God, you still stand, you get close, but you still stand in your own strength. Thank you, Jesus. That's a picture of rest. My knees just spoke in tongues. See, now I'm resting. How do you know when you're resting, when the weight isn't on you? When you're not standing in your own strength, but I'm fully resting in the strength of the chair. How do I know when I'm really believing in who Jesus is, when I'm really allowing him to be Messiah in my life, when you're no longer standing in your own strength, but fully resting in the chair, standing on the promises, resting on the promises of God, allowing him to hold you. See, some of us, this is what we do. We say, all right, God, I'll trust you with half of it. Y'all can't really see me, can you? I'll trust you with half of me, but I'm still going to stand on one leg. I'm still holding on to this, but I'll let go of this. God says, I want you to hold me fully. I want you to rest in me fully. Every area fully resting in God because I can hold you. So here's the deal. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe, who would rest in, fully trust me. Here it is. It says, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. You would not perish, but have everlasting life. This word perish is a very interesting word. It's not the idea of just dying and going to hell. No. It's bigger than that. The idea of perish is this slow drift, this slow fading away from God. It's this slow move from God. It's like this. Let me get some help with the lights. Let's turn all of the house lights off and then leave the spotlights on. Let's get all of the house lights off and leave the spotlights on. Leave the spotlights on. These big spots up here, leave those on. These two right here. Right here? Y'all see me? Yeah, leave those on. Leave those on. All right. The idea of perishing is this slow fade away, but it slowly gets darker. So as I talk, I want you to slowly fade the lights down until it's dark. All right? It's the idea of this slow drift and this slow movement away from God that happens daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and over time, you find yourself sitting in a very dark place. The dangerous thing about perishing is that if you sit in the dark long enough, your eyes will adjust. And you will just learn to live here. You'll learn how to function. It's harder to see, but you'll learn how to kind of walk through. Sorry. And then the thunder comes. It's harder to see, but you'll learn how to navigate through. And you got to watch yourself, but you'll learn how to work through situations. You'll learn how to move around in the midst of darkness. And friends, that's just where Satan wants you. He wants you functional in darkness. Bad enough to where it causes you to slow down, but not bad enough to where it stops you in your tracks. Friends, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that if you would just believe in him, if you would just trust in him, you wouldn't have to slowly fade away to eternal darkness. You would not have to perish. See, that's the deal with pornography. That's the deal with addiction. It just slowly pulls you away. That's the thing with lust. That's the thing with lying. That's the thing with just a little flirting. It just slowly pulls you away. See, pornography, it doesn't destroy a marriage in one night. It destroys a marriage over a period of time because slowly you find yourself pouring your affections into what you see on the computer and slowly denying your wife the affections that she desperately deserves as your wife. You see the picture? And it's slow. This little lie is not that big of a deal. A little cheat on my taxes is not that big of a deal. Or just not pursuing God, just not seeking God. Just kind of living and only praying in crisis, or just kind of praying when I get in trouble. I'm not really going after God. I'm just kind of living my life, just kind of doing my thing. And you're having a good time on this slow fade to darkness. It's methodical. It's intentional. Because Satan has a purpose for your life. I know many times we come to church and we talk about how God has a purpose for our life, but I'm here to tell you at Fellowship Monrovia, week 2 of our church service, Satan has a plan and a purpose for your life. You hadn't heard it? Here it is. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm not saying that so I could scare you. I don't want to scare you because that's not going to work anyway, but I don't want to scare you, but I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to think that he's not after your life. And he's not coming like a big bad wolf in the closet. No, he's not the boogeyman. He's not coming like that. He's coming slowly. He's coming very methodically. And you will slowly drift away from your purpose and from the promises of God in your life. Over time, you just move. Do you understand what I'm saying? It says, for God so loved the world, he gave the greatest gift that could ever be given, that whosoever would believe, would rest in him, would recline in him. You won't have to fade away into your addiction. You won't have to fade away into lust. You won't have to fade away to sin, but the direct opposite. If you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. Turn all the lights up way high. Turn all the lights up really bright. Turn them all up. You feel that? It's almost a little irritating, isn't it? The light is almost a little offensive to us, right? That's what the Word of God does. It pierces the darkness and it exposes the darkness. And it calls us into the marvelous light. It says, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. The picture of everlasting life, if perishing is a slow fading away, everlasting life is a fading towards God. It's a drawing nigh towards God. You won't perish, but every day as you trust and as you recline in God, you will be drawn closer to the marvelous light of who he is. And you will become one with the Father. You will know him and you will be known by him. And in this everlasting life, it's not just heaven. It's not just eternity, but it starts now and it culminates in all eternity. Every single day you experience, here it is, fellowship with God. And that fellowship changes you every day. The fellowship draws you closer every day. The fellowship exposes marvelous light in places where darkness used to abide. Every single day, you will not perish away into the darkness, but you will have everlasting life. You will have this fellowship, this divine life, this Zoe, this God kind of life, this fellowship with God. Where every day, because of who he is, he shapes who you are. That's the gift that has been given to us. This beauty, this ability, this fellowship with God. There's a story of this lady down in Memphis, Tennessee. Her little boy needed a heart transplant. And they did this big fundraiser, this big drive. And after a search and years, all of a sudden the boy on the brink of death. Another little boy who passes away, and his heart is a match. So this heart goes into this little boy, and the mother of the boy who died, once a year, she drives down to Memphis, Tennessee, and she goes to the little boy's house who got her son's heart. And the family welcomes her. The little boy, he's 7, 8, 9 years old, you know, doesn't really know who she is, just knows this is this kind of random lady. And he's running around playing and she's sitting around talking to the family. But most of all, she's just mesmerized as she watches the little boy run around. And after a while, when she gets ready to go, she'll say, all right, come here, give me a hug. She'd always take a long time and she'd grab him and she'd hug him. When she was hugging him, she would pull him back. She would take her head and put it to his chest. And she would listen to her little boy's heart in his body. A tear would stream down her face. She'd give him a hug and kiss. He'd run and play. And she'd go home. She just wanted to stop by to hear her son's heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but daily have fellowship with God, and that the Heavenly Father in our lives can see and hear the heart of his Son. There's a song that I love. The word says, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You can have all the things of this world. All the perishable goods of this world you can have, but just give me Jesus. Because Jesus is the only thing that satisfies the longing of mine. Soul. The greatest gift, friends, that could have ever been given is our ability through Jesus Christ to fellowship with the one and only true God. Our God's greatest desire is to see the gift that he gave living, dwelling within our hearts. every head bowed and every eye closed. All over the room, I do that because I don't want anyone to be distracted in this moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I just want us to take some time. I just want you to take a few moments. And I want you to think about this gift that has been given and how it is that you respond. And as you're sitting there, I want you to, as we used to say in my old church, do business with God. Make up in your mind. Am I willing to release all the things of this world and to receive Jesus as source, center, Messiah of my life? With your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, allow the words of this song to wash over you as a prayer to our Heavenly Father.
But give me Jesus.
In a few moments, we're going to have communion. For some of you, this is the goodbye party. Some of you, you've been holding on to things of this world. Today, as you come to the to the table as you come and receive the broken body of Jesus Christ and the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Take that in remembrance of the sacrifice that he made and make this your prayer. Give me Jesus. All the things of this world I leave behind. Give me Jesus. The things of this world, they never satisfy me. I find myself feeling empty and feeling shallow. Give me Jesus. Friends, 2,000 years ago on the cross, God so loved the world that he gave you Jesus. Because he knew that in January 2012, if you would just believe on him, right here today, you don't have to perish. You don't have to fade. But you can live. You can have fellowship with God. You can have Jesus. A few moments, you see that there's a station in the back for those of you that are in the back section. For those of you up front, you can come here. And those of you that are in the middle right there, you see our servants there. Take your time. There's no rush. There's a lot of people. So if you want to stay seated and pray for a little while, we're going to allow time just for space for you to come and receive the broken body and the precious shed blood. Take the bread and dip it in the juice. And we do this in remembrance of him. Take, eat the broken body. Take, drink the shed blood. And we do this in remembrance of the greatest gift ever given. And every great gift deserves a response. So today, we believe. We rest. And we fellowship with God. Receive the sacrament of Jesus Christ.